Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Number one, you want something from a guy? Ask for what you want. Okay, now that sounds very simplistic, but you have no idea how many women think, well, if he really loved me, I wouldn't have to ask, you know. Which, why? Because, again, her sisters would think this way, her mom would think, he's not a woman, for crying out loud. You want something, just ask the boy, okay? Number two, ask him more than once. Asking a man to do something once is like never having asked him to do it at all.
I'm Jim Burns. You know, we live in a disposable society. If something breaks, we throw it away. There's always something new to replace it. Well, that mindset may work when it comes to a dish or a household appliance. However, it seems that more and more couples are assuming that attitude when it comes to their marriages as well. Well, conflict in marriage is inevitable. However, instead of working through the tough times, many couples are choosing to just throw the marriage away rather than putting in the effort to make it better. Well, during the next half hour, I'm going to continue my discussion on some practical ways to improve the quality of your marriage. We're going to talk about how laughter and joy can actually make the rough spots a bit easier to deal with. Mark Gunger is with me once again. Mark's the CEO of Laugh Your Way America. And we're going to keep on talking and actually doing a little laughing about laughter and joy, keys to a better marriage. It's going to be very insightful right here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh, here at APU, of course, and since 2003. Did you know that 18 APU students and 4 APU faculty members have been named Fulbright Scholars? You can learn more about the school when you go to homeward.com and check out APU, or you can just Google Fulbright and find out why that's such a big deal. Today, the big deal we're talking about is marriage, and it's a good day for us to be having this conversation. Mark Gunger is with Dr. Jim Burns in studio for part two of their conversation on laughter and joy, keys to a better marriage. So if you're looking for some practical marriage tips, this is the place to be. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. You're going to love this program today. Mark Gunger is with us. We're talking about keys to a better marriage. It's actually part two of a continuing conversation. And by the way, if you didn't hear part one, go online, homeward.com. You got to hear this. You'll see why in a minute. Mark Gunger, senior pastor of Celebration Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. He's also the CEO of Laugh Your Way America, which is a great organization that helps couples laugh, learn, and develop a better marriage, as well as a brand new television program called Love, Marriage, and Stinkin' Thinkin'. Look it up. It's great. He and Debbie have been married for over 30 years. They have 2 grown children and 3 grandchildren. Welcome back to our program.
Great. Do you have grandchildren, by the way?
I don't have grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness. It is the most fabulous thing on earth. It is God's reward for not killing your kids.
I hear that's the case. I was holding a baby the other day. My daughter, Becca, who's not married, a senior in college, and I said, I want one of these. And then I looked at her and went, not from you.
Not right away.
Right, exactly. So, fascinating story. You've written a great book called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. We've been talking about, you know, the laws of marriage physics, you and I, off air and on air in a previous program. Before we go any further, you have to tell the story about you making a choice regarding wearing some clothing that your wife had that you didn't, that you opened your book with. It's just unbelievable.
All right. I was just talking about how life doesn't turn out the way that you expect.
Okay.
Nobody comes to the altar thinking, gee, I hope our life will stink.
Right.
You know, I hope he's a lazy bum and never helps me around the house. I hope she never nags at me and just gives me all the sex that I want. Nobody comes thinking, you know, things aren't going to be the way that they want it. Okay. Everybody has this perfect idealized thing. But then life kicks in. And what I try to tell people is you have to adapt. You have to adjust. You can't just sit around and freak out all the time. And I use this analogy. I was speaking in Raleigh, North Carolina. This pastor asked if I'd get up the next morning and tape 3 TV shows with him, Steve Corona, a good friend of mine. And I said, sure. Yeah, great. So get up the next morning, hop in the shower, get out of the shower. I'm flipping through the suitcase trying to find my underwear. I can't find my underwear. So I hollered at my wife and said, hey, where's my underwear? She said,
it's right there in front of your face.
You know, you ever have this conversation? You know, said, I don't know where it is. Come on, let me. So she finally comes, oh, for crying out loud. So she starts flipping through. And then in about 20 seconds, she starts giggling. Okay. And I'm thinking, oh, no. She goes, I guess I forgot him. You know, no, you can't forget. I got to get going. So I thought, well, I'll just put on what I had, right? Well, it's on the floor. They're sopping wet, okay? And I don't have time to air blow them out. I had to get going because I got up last minute because I hate getting up in the morning. It's amazing I made it here today. So So, you know, so I had two choices. I either go au naturel, right? Or then I look on top of the suitcase, and here's a pair of just white cotton underwear. You don't think anything of it, except that it had Victoria's Secret all the way around on the band. So I'm looking at it going, oh, so anyway, I decided to put them on because I got to get out of here, right? So so I'm driving down the road.
So you're saying you wore your wife's
actually
underwear.
Threw, but I wouldn't think it. It was in the morning, and I threw something on, and I got just, so about 5 miles down the road, it hits me. Good Lord, man, you're wearing women's underwear. And all I could think was, what if I'm in an accident? Picture myself on the side of the road as paramedics are desperately trying to save my life, with me pushing them back, yelling, let me die! Let me die! You know? Oh, so anyway, you know, life, you do the best you can. It doesn't always turn out the way that you think.
Well, that's not exactly a flattering story, but I'm glad we opened. I don't think Homeward has ever had somebody like Mark on our program before. What a story.
Oh,
my
man.
Goodness. Hey, I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question right off the bat. What do women really want in a marriage relationship?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Ladies will actually like this one, as opposed to the previous show where they probably all hated me for bringing all their romanticized ideas. But what women want, this is a big deal, because men for thousands of years have wondered, what is it that women want, okay? And it's a big deal because most women don't know what it is that they want. They know they want something, but they don't know how to say it. And very simply, it's this. This is big money here. Record this, folks. Play this back later. But this is what women want. Women want to be chosen. All of life for a woman is the junior high school dance where she's standing on the other side of the room hoping some boy will come and pick her. Okay, this is what she celebrates and lights up with during the dating process. You keep calling her. You keep choosing her. You keep choosing to be with her. This is what her girlfriends celebrate with her and envy her on her wedding day at the same time. On the one day, they're celebrating, she's been chosen. And then the other time, they're envying her, saying, when will somebody choose me? You know. But guys make this terrible mistake. They think that when they say, I do, it means I'm done. And they stop demonstrating to the girl that they choose her. The man who continually demonstrates to his wife that above everything else, I still choose you, is a man who can keep a woman in love with him his entire life. And when I say demonstrate, I mean literally demonstrate. Take nothing for granted. You have to say it. In other words, you've got your computer there. You've got lots of work you've got to do. And you say to her, honey, I really need to do this right now. But you know what? I'm going to close this right now. Let's go for a walk. What have you just said? You said, I have to, but I still choose you. Or you might say, hey, I was going to go golfing with the guys today. It was a beautiful day, but I told them, go without me. I'd just rather spend time with you. You know, that kind of stuff. She lights up with that stuff. Now, the good news is you don't have to do this all the time. Mm-hmm. Women are not these weak, needy pod creatures from another planet that constantly need attention that we sometimes think that they do. But what happens is if you never do this, you totally stop demonstrating to her. You quit saying, I need to, I want to, I get to do these other things, but I choose not to be with you. If you will do that, you'll keep her lit up in love with you. If you don't, and you go for months at a time or sometimes years at a time, and she just starts feeling like an accessory in your life, you'll have a very frustrated woman. And here's the other catch, too, because a lot of guys, we think, well, I'm doing all this for you. I'm working so hard for you. I'm trying to make a living for you. Nah. She's never going to buy that, okay? She doesn't want to be an accessory. She doesn't want to be second to anything else, even if you think it's for her. She needs to come first. Again, it doesn't have to be every day, not constant need where you can't do anything else. You can do all these things you need to do. But it's as you go along, a man has to continuously demonstrate to her, I choose you over this. I'm not going to go to work today. I need to. They're going to yell at me. I don't care. I'm not going in Saturday. I want to spend time with you, that kind of thing.
That's great input. Now, men, I want you to say these words. Repeat after me. I choose you. I chose you. Great, great input. Not always easy to do, by the way. Now, I want to talk about sexuality. We're going to do it now, and then we'll do it after the break as well. You're pretty blunt when it comes to sex, but you say the truth is sex was God's idea.
Indeed, and marriage is fundamentally a sexual contract. That's what it's about. It's and women hate this, by the way. They think it's not supposed to be about that. It's supposed to be about love and fellowship. Sweetheart, if your husband was interested in fellowship and communication, he'd have gotten a dog, okay? It's not about that. And it's good that he's interested in sex. This is how a man stays connected with a woman, okay? I'm not saying it's the only thing. I'm just saying it is one of the fundamental bedrocks of the marriage relationship. And oftentimes in the church, we don't talk about it, and women hate the idea that it's a fundamental thing, and it is. And if you neglect this area in your life, you will struggle in your relationships, bottom line. People have got to get this right. And in my book, I talk about it. Most marriage books have a chapter on sex. I have six.
Boy, and I tell you, I read those and I laughed at the very front. It said, men, welcome to this book because this is what you're reading first. Very interesting. But you know what? I didn't read it first. Okay. I'll just let Kathy know that because she's going to listen to this program. I want to take a break. We'll talk about this more. And I want you to tell us what a Jewish rabbi has been teaching you about sex and sexuality when we come back. Roger, tell us about Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. What a great show today. Mark Unger with us, and we'll be right back.
Well, our theme today here on Homeward is Laughter and Joy, Keys to a Better Marriage. Dr. Jim Burns is talking with pastor and author Mark Gunger, and Mark has written a book on this topic called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And if you'd like more information on that book, visit us online at homeward.com. That's home, W-O-R-D.com. Remember, Dr. Jim Burns has also written some great books on marriage, including Closer and Creating an Intimate Marriage. And you can find ordering information for both of those books when you go to homeward.com as well. We continue now with the concluding segment of Jim's conversation with Mark Gunger, and remind you that this part of the program is intended for adults only. If you've got kids with you, you want to turn off the radio now and go to homeward.com and stream audio with us there. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Mark Gunger with us. Wow, are we getting probably some emails today, Roger? Both good and bad, because there'll be people who will say this was wonderful because it's bottom line what we need to be talking about. And we'll get a few people who probably don't agree much with what we're talking about today. That's why we have Homeward. We're going to deal with issues that are going to help you help your family, and sometimes something that you don't even agree on. Well, great. That's going to teach you to be a more effective spouse one way or the other. Critical thinking is what we're talking about today as well. But we're also going to talk about sexuality. Mark Gunger is the senior pastor of Celebration Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I would go to that church if I was in Green Bay, I'll tell you that much. CEO of Laugh Your Way America, which is a great organization that helps couples develop better marriages. Also, brand new television show, Love, Marriage, and Stinking Thinking. You got to see this show. In fact, we'll have a link on our website today to laughyourway.com, and Roger will tell you about that in just a minute. It's also on the front page of our website. Mark, we were talking about sexuality, and basically you said it's important. It's God's idea. It's important. But you've been learning from kind of a Jewish rabbi that there really is a biblical sexuality. Talk about that.
It's fabulous. I quote a lot in my book. His name's Shmuley Boteach, kind of an odd name, but he wrote a book called Kosher Sex. Great big gigantic words. You know, when you're walking through an airport, it's a little embarrassing. Kind of turn it in so people don't look at what you're looking
right,
at.
Exactly.
But he talks about how, from a conservative Jewish perspective, how important sex is and their value of it. And he said that Jewish rabbis used to actually sit down with a young man before he got married and teach him in explicit detail how to pleasure a woman. Can you imagine having that conversation with your pastor before you got married? I mean, we as Christians, we don't want to talk about these things. We're afraid of it. We can't even say the word sex. We use code intimacy. Or I was on a Christian radio station in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They pulled one of my spots because I spelled the word sex. Spelled it. Apparently, they don't have sex in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That's why I live in Green Bay. It's too cold not to have sex in Green Bay. But, we're afraid to talk about these things. But from a conservative Jewish they never had a problem with this. It was never dirty. It wasn't icky. And if the church would have, it was the Jewish nation that pretty much rejected Christianity at some point. In the beginning, they were all Jewish, by the way. Y'all guys know that, right? And then they didn't have anything to do with it. And then we just went on pagans who got saved. But we lost that culture. So that's why hundreds of years into Christianity, they were so confused about sex. That's why they started saying, well, you can't possibly serve God and have sex. And that's why they started requiring priests not to have sex, and they couldn't even talk to their own mothers. And that's why you got all, because Christians historically have only been able to view sex from a filthy filter, whereas the Jewish culture never had this problem, which is how God had dealt with them all those centuries, was in a positive way. So I try and put it in a positive light for people.
No, I appreciate that. I think, it is the word that sometimes is taboo, but a lot of people here and a lot of kids, my interest is with kids so often, and I've written some books on sexuality for kids, and a lot of kids say that the church says don't do it because it's dirty, rotten, horrible, and then save it till your marriage, and they think, well, what is that all about? Of course, in a biblical context of marriage, sexuality, that's where it should be.
Yes.
That's what the scripture says. And yet at the same time, to not talk about the incredible joy that it brings and the incredible part of the relationship that it is, it really is too bad. I want to move on from sex, which is interesting because, that's not always the case. Roger, my producer, always wants us to talk about. But you have so much more in your book, Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. And for our wives who are listening today, I want you to summarize a section in your book that you entitled, How to Get a Man to Do Stuff for You.
Yes. Fabulous. I love this because, again, women are so angry with their husbands overwhelmingly because we're not women and we don't think like women, and they get angry. And I try to convince women it doesn't make men bad or evil. It just, if you understand how a guy thinks, you can succeed with him. So I give him some very simple points. Let me give you three. Okay, because I don't have time for all of them. Number one, you want something from a guy? Ask for what you want. Okay, now that sounds very simplistic, but you have no idea how many women think, well, if he really loved me, I wouldn't have to ask, you know. Which, why? Because, again, her sisters would think this way. Her mom would pick up. He's not a woman, for crying out loud. You want something, just ask the boy, okay? Number two, ask him more than once. Asking a man to do something once is like never having asked him to do it at all, okay? And they hate that. First of all, you got to understand, they hate asking the first time. And the idea that they would ask the second time or the third time just drives them crazy. And that's why a lot of times they go into this immediate nag, nasty mode. And a lot of women will say, well, no, if I ask more than once, that's nagging. No, 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 no. Asking more than once is not nagging. Nagging kicks in when you add an attitude to the asking, okay? Ask the guy again. And I explain why men are this way, okay? We don't have time for all this. And then finally, number three, don't insult the guy. Okay, millions of women try to use insult to motivate their husbands. Why? Because it would work on another girl, but he's not a girl. And women say, what's the matter with you? Can't you pick up the laundry? What is that, your underwear over there? Well, better be, you know. I mean, there's no reason to get the attitude and all the nastiness, okay? So now forget about your husbands now, okay? Because right now we got millions, or I don't know how many women listen to this, but a lot of them mad at me, okay? Now for a second, forget about your husbands. Let me ask you about your relationship with God. If you want something from God, what's the first thing you have to do? You have to ask for what you want. Even though Jesus said, God, unlike your husband, knows what you want before you ask him. But if you don't ask him, you're not getting jack squat out of God. Number two, Jesus taught us you need to ask more than once. How many times Jesus said you need to knock and keep on knocking, ask and keep on asking, the parables that he gave on, okay? I mean, that proves God's a man right there. You got to ask him more than once. And then number three, you don't insult God when he doesn't show up in your timetable. Okay? Now check this out. Women understand this about God, but not with their husbands. And I make this argument. The reason why so many Christian women are so frustrated, they are literally trying to hold their husbands to a higher standard than Almighty God.
Isn't that interesting? Great input, actually, and very thought-provoking. I want you to take the final moments of our time together and talk about why you say that we all need to develop a cloth diaper marriage.
You're up in my age. Remember cloth diapers?
I barely do,
okay,
but yes.
Come on, I'm not that much older than you, but the back when you had cloth diapers, you didn't throw them away.
Right.
You had to clean them. They were quite disgusting. Right? I'm not arguing for them. Thank God they're gone and we can fill landfills. I don't care about filling the landfills with the diapers, man. The cloth ones are horrid, okay? But what you did is you took them and you cleaned them and you reused them again. Just because they got soiled, just because they got icky, you didn't throw them out. Part of what we have today is we have such a disposable culture that women and men literally think, gee, if my marriage stinks, I will throw it out and get another one. And what we need to do is develop this, what I call cloth diapers mentality towards our relationship, that you don't throw it away because it stinks. You don't throw it away because it gets messy. You know, because sometimes it's disgusting. Your relationship at times can be just so frustrating to you. And by the way, this happens to all of us, including me. We all drive each other nuts, okay? But you don't throw it away. You work through it. You clean it up. You do what you need to do. And in my book, I share with people how to get there, how to clean stuff up. But it's just that you value something so much higher. And you just don't throw it away. And part of the problem here is that we don't value the covenant of marriage. Women tend to, and men too, I'm picking on women a lot today, but women tend to value the covenant of the relationship based on the strength of the relationship itself. In other words, if the relationship is good, they value the covenant. If the relationship is lousy, they don't value the covenant. And some of them are tempted to throw it away. Again, 80% of all divorces today filed by women. And women say, well, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But they can, because they demonstrate this the most powerful way with their own children. A woman so values her covenant with her child that nothing can break it. That child could drive her crazy. That child could drive her nuts. That child could do terrible in school. The guy could get arrested. He could be thrown into prison as an axe murderer. And the mother is still visiting him in prison. And if he's been executed, mom's there to watch. Why? She never will separate herself from that child. Why? Because no matter what he does, so strong is my covenant with that child that I can't break. If women who do this, and by the way, they do it stronger than men. I mean, men at some point will even give up on children. you know, like the Fiddler on the Roof, you know, Devia finally at some point after the third shot pushed, she says, enough! Tradition! You know, he can't take it anymore, okay? But the mom still hung in there, right? And the girls still all wanted to hang in there with her. Women, when it comes to siblings or to their own children, believe in that covenant above all else. If women would put the same value on their marriages that they view as their children, you would virtually stop divorce in America today. And if men would do the same thing. We have the ability with our children, where there's no question, no matter what they do, no matter how they act, even though we get frustrated and we deal with them and we spend the money and everything we can to help them get the best education and stuff, at the end of the day, they're always our children. If men and women would think that way toward their spouses, you would eliminate divorce in America. But we don't, because we don't value the covenant. It's totally conditional. We only value it if the relationship is good. Let me give you a real simple analogy. I was reading this story. I actually talk about it in my book, and right off my mind, I can't think of who tells the story. I said it in the book. But anyway, this guy's riding in the subway in New York City, okay? They stop at a stop, and all of a sudden, this guy hops on the train with his three kids. He sits right next to the guy telling the story. The train takes off. Well, the guy just closes his eyes and throws his head back. The three kids are hellions. They're torturing everybody on the train, and nobody can stand it. Finally, the guy can't take it anymore, and he looks at the guy and says, hey, buddy, can't you take care of your kids? And he sits up and he goes, I'm so sorry. He says, we just came from the hospital. Their mother just died. I guess we're not handling it very well. Well, what happens in that train? Everything changes. Why? Because everybody understood why they were acting the way. Did those kids change? Not one bit. But everybody else changed, and they accommodated and worked with those kids because now it all made sense.
That's fascinating. Great input today. Interesting that God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And yet we tend to go that direction too easy in our marriages today. Mark, thank you for being with us. You are amazing.
Thanks, guys.
Great, great time. Love this guy. Incredible guy. His book is called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. I'm not sure he does, Roger, good girl imitations or wife imitations. He's got to work on that. But besides that, great day-to-day on Homeward. And you know what? If you've got a question or if you've got a comment, you can go to homeward.com. And you can tell us what you think. We sure appreciate all of those comments. Roger?
Well, we certainly do. And if you'd like to contact us, there are a couple different ways. First of all, you can send us an email. That sounds old school now, but write to contactus@homeward.com or just write to roger@homeward.com and I'll make sure that we get it. Or go to Homeward's Facebook page and you can go ahead and just post it right on our wall right there. Just go to facebook.com/homeward and find the Homeward Center for Youth and Family. You can become friends with Dr. Jim Burns. You can become friends with me. You can become friends with Ben if you can find a spot. But all of that is available to you at homeward.com or Facebook.
Well, thanks, Roger. And you know, as we conclude today's program, I want to spend some time talking about something that I talk about a lot on the program.
Yeah.
It's one of the key themes for me. It's in my book, Creating an Intimate Marriage. But you know, no matter what the condition of your marriage is right now, it's time to stop blaming your spouse. It's time to stop blaming your in-laws. We got a new puppy. It's time to stop blaming the puppy for things that are going wrong. Instead, inject what I like to call awe into the marriage. Awe, A-W-E. It's an acrostic. It stands for affection, warmth, and encouragement. Affection, you know, it's a basic need for all people. And if you don't have affection in your marriage, then your marriage is going to dry up. And so we have to be intentional. You don't have to be overly mushy about it, but be intentional about showing affection. It's amazing to me how my mood can change when Kathy simply gives a gesture of affection right toward me. Warmth is the next one. And I think back to the dating days, and there was lots of warmth. But then what happens? Well, because we have low-level anger or we have negative energy or whatever it may be, we all of a sudden become people who are not warm with each other. But warmth brings people towards you, and bitterness and being cold, if you would, makes people run away. Negativity doesn't work. So bring warmth into the marriage as well. Be proactive about that. And then encouragement. Many of us grew up in homes where we were raised with what we call shame-based parenting. It was modeled by our parents. We don't really know how to be people of encouragement. And yet what I know is that I can fill Kathy's emotional bank account if I just affirm her and give her lots of encouragement. Same with Kathy with me. So affection, warmth, and encouragement. Certainly creating an intimate marriage is not easy. It's going to take work, but it is well worth the effort. And by the way, if you're not sure where to start to begin working on your marriage, well, I think there is someone who can begin to make a difference today, and that person is you.
Amen to that, Jim. One of the resources that Dr. Jim Burns has written recently with his wife, Kathy, is called Closer. It's a devotional book for couples. And if you don't really do the couples devotion thing or the family devotion thing, this is a collection of 52 faith conversation starters. And if you read through this book, maybe take one of these a week and even just take 10 or 15 minutes. You read them first individually and then maybe see if you can get your spouse to read along with you. You're going to find a deeper connection with God individually, but then also with each other too. So if you'd like more information on ordering a copy of Closer by Dr. Jim Burns, go to homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.